Well, I want to say this. God has been working in our hearts and through the preaching of His Word, but I'm asking God to do a special work this morning. You know, it is, I believe, for a pastor, probably one of the most difficult things for any preacher to preach on is the subject of giving. But may I say to you today that I make no apology for preaching the truth of God's Word. You know, we should never apologize for speaking the truth in love. In fact, if you understand anything about the Bible, Jesus Christ, while He walked on the face of the earth, Jesus spoke more about finances and money than He did about heaven and hell combined. Now, we enjoy the preaching on heaven. We enjoy the preaching on as far as our home in heaven. But brethren, the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with those heart issues. In fact, one out of every 10 verses in the New Testament deals with our finances. Why did God place such an emphasis? Because there is a fundamental connection between our attitude about money and our heart for God. We're going to find it today. Matthew chapter 6, let's begin in verse number 19. Would you follow along with me as I read? The Bible says, Matthew 6, verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Verse 20 of Matthew 6. "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Now, when we come to this text in God's Word, there is so much in Matthew chapter 6 for us to understand. Now, you might say today, "Well, Pastor, I understand that God does not want me to lay up treasure." Well, that's not true, because the Bible says that we are to lay up treasure, but not here on earth. God says that we are to lay up treasure in heaven. Now, how is that possible? Well, a part of us laying up our treasure in heaven is what we give to the Lord, what we give to our Heavenly Father, what we give through the local New Testament church. Now, by the way, as we think about giving, giving is more than a responsibility. Giving is a privilege. It is more than an act of obedience. It is really an evidence of our faith in God. It is our giving to the Lord. It is trusting God to meet our needs. Now, this morning, I want to speak to you on this subject, God's standard for giving. What is the Lord's standard? In fact, some people believe that their ideal of giving is to tip God. And they think, "Well, hey, that was a good sermon this morning, and so I'm going to tip the Lord on that." Some people think of giving that I'll give when I have excess, when I have a little bit left over. I had a man years ago tell me, and I do not know what our people give in our church. I know what my wife and I and our children give, but I do not look. I don't look on purpose. I want you to be obedient to the Lord and all of that. But I had a man tell me years ago, he said, "Pastor, by the way," he said, "I haven't been giving lately." And I said, "Well, brother," I said, "that's between you and the Lord." And he said, "But Pastor, when I can afford to tithe, I'm going to start tithing." Well, can I tell you something? The truth of the matter is, none of us, in a sense, if we want to say it, can afford to tithe. There are always needs, are there not? There are always bills. There are always things for us to take care of. But brethren, for us not to tithe, and that is to give 10% according to God's Word, which is out of the gross income, when we do not tithe, we are simply being disobedient to God. And the Bible tells us clearly that we are robbing God. Now, brethren, this morning, what is God's standard for giving? God has a standard. We may think, well, this is what my grandparents taught me, and this is what I think is a standard. But let's look this morning at God's standard for giving. Number one, I want you to notice with me, as we notice in this passage, giving has Bible principles. Now, I love Bible principles because I believe that we as God's people should base our life, our decisions, our standards, everything on the principles of God's precious word. You know something? This world is changing. I hope that you see that. I hope that you understand that. I'm not very old, but can I tell you this? I remember when things were different. I remember when... My dad tells me of a day in which if you didn't get gasoline on Saturday, you were not going to get it on Sunday. How many remembers a day when it was like that? Yes. And my dad told me about times like that. Listen, our world changes, does it not? They change constantly. Fads come and fads go and fads come back into style, you know? And I know the teenagers, they see things and that we used to wear years ago. Well, they'll wear them one day, all right? They may not like them, but they're going to wear them. They'll be in style. Just keep them, all right? So anyway, but can I tell you this? The world changes. But the Bible says, as God said, I am the Lord, I change not. And by the way, the further this world gets away from God and the Bible and Bible principles, the more strange we look to this world. They think, hey, what is wrong with you? Listen, brethren, we have to have the standard of God's precious word. What is the standard of giving according to God? Well, there are some Bible principles that we must understand about giving. And by the way, we go back to Matthew chapter 6, and I want you to begin with this. All of our giving is a matter of the will. It is a matter of the heart. God begins with the heart. Notice what the Bible says. It says in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 6, we read this. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now the Lord tells us here in Matthew chapter 6, He says, do not lay up treasures on earth. Now that does not mean that we cannot enjoy the provisions that God has blessed us with. If God has blessed you with many things or a few things, we ought to thank God for those material blessings, whatever they may be. God has given them to you. God has blessed them with you. So let's thank Him for it. Let's enjoy that. It has come from the Lord. But the Bible says that if we live our lives to lay up treasures here on earth, to what we can obtain, we give our time, our energy, our efforts, our single eye is only towards the treasures here on earth, God says moth and rust will destroy them. I have a pastor friend in Texas that on Saturday morning, that they let us know that their house caught on fire sometime early on Saturday morning, and they lost literally everything, everything. And they said that they smelled smoke, and then the next thing, the lights went out, and then the next thing, the house was engulfed in flames. Praise be to the Lord that they all got out safely, but they lost literally everything. Now, can I say this to you? No doubt that is a tragic thing. No doubt that must be a difficult thing, especially when it comes to pictures and things that maybe you could not replace this side of heaven. But can I say this to you? Those people know the Lord Jesus Christ. Those people are serving the Lord. They may have lost treasure here on earth and things that God had blessed them with. But brethren, we can never lose our treasure in heaven. It is reserved for us there. So there are Bible principles that we understand here today. By the way, when you and I love something or someone, it's going to cost you something. I thank God for my children, and God has blessed my wife and I with three children. But I'm going to tell you something. I love them. That has cost me something throughout life, and it will continue to cost me, all right? And, you know, the grocery bill, it doesn't get better. It gets worse, you know? And sometimes I'll go to get something, and it's gone, you know? And I told my wife, I said, look, when our kids get out of the house, we're going to get really fat because, you know, there's really nothing much, and it's going to be nice, you know? But anyway, you know something? I love my children. That costs me something. I thank God. I'm willing to give that. I love spending time with them and being in their company and all of that. I thank God for my wife. This coming July, we'll be married 20 years. I thank God for that. And you know something? I love her, but that costs me something. There is a sacrifice that I'm willing to make. There is love that I'm willing to give. There is all of the privileges of that. But brethren, this morning, if we know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a giving in our heart. You see, giving is a matter of the heart. It is a matter of the will. Now, what are some of these Bible principles? Take your Bible, and I want you to go to Exodus chapter number 35. Exodus chapter 35, I want you to see something here today. When we come to Exodus 35, we notice that the people are giving. Now, what are they giving for? The building of the tabernacle. Moses says, hey, we want this tabernacle to honor God. This is a symbol, and God wants to meet with us. And the people were to give. By the way, how is God's work accomplished today? And I believe that God is getting his work done today through the local New Testament church. And I believe that. But can I tell you something? That God is getting his work done through the people of a local assembly of baptized believers that are seeking to carry out the Great Commission, but God is getting it done through people. Can I ask you something? How do we as a church send missionaries to foreign fields? We give towards that. How do we print gospel tracts to give them out? Someone has to give towards that. How do we build buildings so that we can bring people in and they can hear the gospel? We give towards that. In Exodus chapter 35, Moses said, we need to build a tabernacle. So let's look at what the Bible says the people did in their heart. Exodus chapter 35, I want you to begin in verse number 20, and let's notice this. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of the Lord, or from the presence of Moses. And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And look at verse 22. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Now notice what the Bible says. Moses comes before the people. Moses says, we must build the tabernacle. And the Bible says that God touched their hearts, and they had a willing heart, and they willingly gave to the Lord. It was not something that Moses had to kind of hype them up about. That was not it. It was not that Moses had to beg the people. That is not it. I heard one preacher say that God bless, and they built many buildings at the church and all that. He said, I feel like when I die, they're going to put on my tombstone, and the beggar died, you know, because he felt like all he was doing was begging for money. Well, brother, may I tell you something? I'm not begging today. I want you and me to be obedient children of God. You know, one of the jobs of a pastor is to help you have a good day in before the Lord Jesus Christ. We all are going to stand before the Lord one day. We will give an account of our lives before God. I believe we'll give an account of our gifts that God has given to us, our abilities that the Lord has given to us, and our opportunities that God has given to us. Notice what the Bible goes on to say in Exodus chapter 35, and look in verse number 29. The Bible says, the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Now, what are these Bible principles? Number one, the first Bible principle that we notice here is that God owns everything. I am only his steward. Do you know today that we must think like stewards and not think like owners? The children of Israel here willingly brought their offerings to the Lord. They brought anything and everything. They brought gold and they brought jewels and they brought all kinds of things to say, we love the Lord and we want to obey God, so we give out of a willing heart of love to the Lord. Brethren, today, when you and I understand that it is God who owns everything and we are just His stewards, it changes the way that we give. You see, the Bible tells us, if you would take and go to the New Testament, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Would you turn there? 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. By the way, years ago, I'm sure you've heard this before, but two men were shipwrecked and they were marooned on an island. And they were in trouble. I mean, no one around, no one whatsoever. And one man was on this marooned island, and there was no food, there was no water, there was nothing. No hope of getting help. And the man was walking and pacing back and forth, and boy, he was wringing his hands. He was worried. How are we ever going to get off this island? We're going to die here on this island. And he started talking about how that they were going to die, and no one was going to help him. The other friend was leaning up against a tree. Man, he looked like as happy as he could be. And the man looked down at him and said, what is wrong with you? Don't you understand the seriousness of this situation? We're going to die on this island. And the man just kind of leaned back and said, hey, look, you don't understand. I make $100,000 a week. And the man that was so worried said, what does that have to do with anything? That's not going to help us right now. He said, look, you need to understand. I go to a Baptist church and I tithe faithfully every week. My pastor is going to find me, I promise you, you know? Well, let me tell you this. I understand, all right? But can I tell you something today? There is a God in heaven who, brethren, can I tell you this? He really doesn't want your money. Sometimes I remember visiting a man years ago, and he said, oh, I don't go to that church. All they talk about is money, you know? And that's not true. But the truth of the matter is, money has a connection with our heart. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What we love, we give, we sacrifice to. You see, the truth of the matter is, today, nobody has to find you, nobody has to beg you to give. If you really love the Lord and understand that God owns everything and we are just His stewards, we will give willingly like the children of Israel. In fact, do you know the other story of how that when they were building the temple, and you know the story in God's Word, how that they kept giving and giving until finally they had to come out and stop the people and say, hey, you've given too much. Don't give anymore. I don't know that that would ever happen at our church, you know. You imagine me getting up next Sunday and saying, brethren, we just have so much money. Please do not give for another month or two, you know. Well, the truth of the matter is, brethren, when our hearts are so in tune with the Lord, and when we love Him, and when we are full of Him, and our heart is full of Him, we will give willingly. We will give sacrificially, because we understand that everything belongs to God, and we are just His steward. You know what that means? A steward is one who manages the assets of someone else. He does not own those things. He stewards those. Can I say this? The children that God has given my wife and I, we do not own our children. Now, we would say that these are our children. But you know that in a sense, God gave them life and God gave them to us for a short amount of time that we can train them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, that we can love them and show them the way to Jesus Christ, but they are not ours. We must understand that. And parents, we must learn to give our children back to God. To say, Lord, these do not belong to me, and I want to follow you. Now, let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, and let's begin in verse number 1. Would you notice this? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse number 1. The Bible says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I believe the first Bible principle is that God owns everything. We are just His stewards. Look here. When you and I think like owners and we act like owners, there is a red flag that should go up. Because we are only stewards of His possessions. We must understand the essence of your life and my life is not ownership, it is stewardship. It is managing the resources that God has given you and me. It is, Lord, what do you want me to do with your money? Lord, what do you want me to do with your gifts and your talents and your abilities? What do you want me to do? It is not my life, it's not my own. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible says that we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Brethren, we belong to the Lord. We are His, and we must allow the Lord to have that ownership. George Mueller said this. He said, let us walk as stewards and not act as owners, keeping for ourselves the means with which the Lord has entrusted us. He has not blessed us that we may gratify our own carnal mind, but for the sake of using our money in His service and to His praise. That's what George Mueller, the great missionary, said of years gone by. Brethren, today, may we understand the Bible principle. God owns everything. I am just His steward. Here's another Bible principle. Heaven is my home, not the earth. Do you know today that we, as the song says, we are just passing through? Heaven is my home if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Earth is not my final resting place. You see, brethren, when we think that earth is our home and this is it, then I've got news for you. There may be Christians that are not looking forward to leaving earth because they're leaving all their possessions. They're leaving all their treasures. But when our treasures are laid up in heaven, brethren, heaven is not just about the treasures. It is seeing the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven is our home. When where we choose to store our treasures depends on where we think our home is. If you think your home is in heaven, that's where we store our treasures. If we think our home is just here on earth, then that is where we store our treasures. But brethren, today, a Bible principle is not only that we are not owners, we are just stewards, but heaven is our home. Now, I'm sure you've stayed in a motel before and you check in, and there is a time that you must check out of the motel. Could you imagine checking into a motel, and as soon as you get checked in, say, boy, I don't like this carpet in here, and let's call and have the carpet replaced, and we're going to pay for it. That would be funny to do. Let's say that you say, boy, this bed is too hard. I want another bed. So you call the mattress company, and you order another bed. Your wife might say, honey, what are you doing? We are just staying here for just a short amount of time. Well, brethren, in a great sense, brethren, we are just passing through this world. What are you laying up treasure in heaven? You see, the third principle that we notice here is not only that we notice that we are not owners, we are stewards, and that heaven is our home. Number three, that brethren, you cannot take anything with you, but we can send it on ahead. You see, today we say, Pastor, why should we not store up treasure here on earth? Why is it really that there's a problem with that? It is not because earthly treasures are bad. It is not because earthly treasures are sinful or that it is terrible to have those. It is simply because earthly treasures will not last. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 23:5, let me read it to you. It says this. It says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Now, brethren, every one of us understands that verse right there. We understand what it is. We think, hey, you know, I remember my father-in-law, my wife and I have been married just about a year. And he looked at me one day and he said, son, if you're waiting until you can afford to have children, you'll never have children, you know? And what he was saying to me basically, son, you know, you can never have enough to be able to have children. Brethren, we understand that riches make themselves as wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. What is God teaching us? That earthly treasures will not last. The Lord wants us to store up treasure in heaven. The difference is that God wants us to lay up treasure in heaven so that one day, and by the way, it is not so that we can lay up treasure in heaven and be proud in heaven about our treasure or to walk around heaven bragging about all that we have laid up. Oh no, There's coming a day, brethren, that you and I can lay our crowns at His feet. Think of that. You see, giving, what are the Bible principles about us giving? Brethren, anything that you and I try to hang on here is going to be lost one day. You see, but anything that we put into God's hands will be kept for all of eternity. You see, we may think that, hey, I'm living for the here and now. But brethren, the here and now is not going to last forever. There is coming a day when we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know Him, for all of eternity. So giving has Bible principles. Number two, I want you to know this. Giving has a biblical pattern. Now there's a pattern. I don't know that if you have ever, maybe some of you work in a factory to where you have to follow blueprints. Those blueprints are important. The pattern, maybe some of you ladies have made things and sewed things before. There is a pattern that has to be followed. That pattern is very important. Well, God has a pattern about giving. And what is His pattern? Number one, we bring the tithe. I want you to notice this closely. Take your Bibles and let's go to Malachi chapter number 3. And you say, Pastor, I knew you were going there because this is a very important part of us to understand. If you can't find Malachi, it's in the Bible. Go to Matthew and turn back just a couple of pages. Matthew chapter 1, and you'll find Malachi. Malachi chapter number 3. We understand that giving has a biblical pattern. You know, it would always be easy as a pastor just to preach all the messages that everybody would say, hey, that was a great message, all of that. But as a pastor, I must preach, what does the Bible say? The whole counsel of God's Word. And giving is not something that we really enjoy hearing about, but it has to do with our hearts. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God is not saying today, I want to have this and I want to have that. No, you know what the Lord wants? He wants your heart. And if God has your heart, you will have no trouble giving. You know, I remember when my wife and I brought home our little baby girl from the hospital. And I remember I felt like driving home that I wanted to go and have every policeman in the city stop traffic so that we could go home safely, you know? And I wanted to tell everybody, hey, we have a child. She is precious. God gave her to us. And you stay away from her. This is serious stuff. You know something, if my daughter needed something medically or something of whatever it may be, you would not have to ask me to give it to her because I love her. Brethren, you wouldn't have to ask. My wife knows something. She knows about me that if she ever breathes something that she may want or whatever it may be, she knows I'll probably leave right there and go get it, you know. One day the kids said something. They said, and they were making fun of me. Can you believe that, making fun of me in my home? My kids said, Dad, whatever Mom wants, you always go get it. And you get it right then, Dad. You know, they were laughing about me, you know. But the truth of the matter is, you know what they understand? I love my wife. I thank God for her. And I'm going to tell you something. Who we love and what we love is what we give our life to. It's what we give our time to. It's what we give our attention to. It is what we sacrifice for. And brethren, if we love the Lord this morning, giving is a natural outflow of that. It is not something that we have to work up. It's not something that I have to shame people into. It is what we will give because we love. I know we're in deer season right now. How many deer hunters do I have in here? Would you raise your hand? All right, we got quite a few of them. And I enjoy it. I go, this year I'm taking both of my boys. And so we'll see how that goes. And so I'm looking forward to that. But I want to tell you something. I know deer hunters out there that, man, they live and breathe it. I mean, they're all the time. They put so much money and effort. And I'm not against that. I think that's good. It's a good, healthy recreation, all of that. But brethren, I wonder, are we willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to give for what the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us? By the way, can I tell you this? God knows everything about giving because He is the one who gave it all. He gave His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The pattern for right giving is that we bring the tithe. Now, what is the tithe? The tithe is 10% of our gross income to God. Let's look at this. Malachi chapter number 3, and I want us to begin in verse number 8. The Bible says, will a man rob God? Now that's pretty strong language, is it not? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Brethren, can I tell you something? The point here is not to rob God less. The point is to not rob God at all. You see, the tithe is something that does not belong to you and me. Now, I know what you think. Well, Pastor, I can live a whole lot better on the 100% than the 90% of my income. But brethren, there is a principle in God's Word, and there is a pattern that we must follow. When we bring the tithe, by the way, we bring the tithe. We don't give the tithe. We bring it because it already belongs to God anyway. When we bring the tithe, God said, out of obedience to me, I will bless you. Now think of that. We are giving back God a portion of what already belongs to Him anyway. You see, when we give the tithe belongs to the Lord. By the way, the purpose of tithing is not to secure the tithe, but to secure the tither. The purpose is not for the possessions, but for the possessor. It is that God has your heart. And by the way, I have never met a dedicated Christian that does not tithe to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, to not tithe is to simply rob God. Now, brethren, I've got news for you. God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills... the God who owns everything and controls everything, brethren, He is someone that I do not want to rob. Think of this. I remember understanding this principle just as a kid, and my mom and dad teaching me. For instance, I used to mow lawns when I was in Knoxville, Tennessee, and my dad and mom would teach me the principle. As I would earn money for mowing that, my dad would say, "Now, son, a portion of that belongs to God. It is the tithe. You must give it to God because it is His anyway." And I can remember being in church and giving my tithe, giving that which belongs to the Lord. Brother, there was a sense of obedience in my heart. There was a sense of joy. But brother, should we not obey God in bringing the tithe? The second thing that we notice, giving has a biblical pattern, is that we bring the tithe, but secondly, we give an offering. Now take your Bibles and let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I want to show you this. Now here at Grace Baptist Church, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we take an offering. But the truth of the matter is, brethren, the offering is we bring the tithe, how God has blessed us. You say, "Well, Pastor, I'm the one who worked. I'm the one who labored. I'm the one who got the job," but let's stop and think. God is the one who gave you the strength to work the job to make the money. You say, "But Pastor, you know how smart and wise I am, and I'm able to have this great job." God is the one who gave you the ability. God is the one who gave you the wisdom. God is the one who has blessed you. I remember a businessman years ago, the story is told that God put on his heart to be obedient. And every week, he had made $40 every week. And he would give his tithe to the Lord every week. And he enjoyed that $4 of tithe to give to God every week, which was 10%. Well, he began to grow in his Christian faith, and God began to bless this man. Well, then he started making not $40 a week, but $4,000 a week. He came to the preacher one day and he said, "Preacher, you know, I made a promise to God that I would always obey Him and that I would bring the tithe to the Lord, the 10%. He said, but Pastor, I'm going to tell you something. I am making so much money now that I really cannot afford to give a tithe. Do you know that'd be $400 a week, preacher? Do you understand that? He said, I understand it totally. He said, let's do this. Let's pray that God would decrease your income to back down to where you can afford to tithe. You see, the ideal is the man was willing to give the $4. But when he had more, he said, Lord, that's just a little bit too much. You see, brethren, today, it is not ours to keep. We bring the tithe, but an offering is something above the tithe. Here at Grace Baptist Church, we support faith promise missions. And most, and a lot of you in here, I know of children that will give $1 a week to Faith Promise. What a blessing that is. It's above the tithe. It is beyond that. And when we are trying to pay down this building and we are giving to this, it is something above the tithe. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We look in verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Verse 2. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Brethren, can I tell you something? When we give an offering to the Lord, we give it above the tithe. Now here is the principle in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We have people that are giving. But you say, well, I know why they gave, because they were so wealthy. That's not it. They gave, the Bible says, in a great trial of affliction and deep poverty. Now think of that. Here are people. You know, I have found it to be true that the greatest givers in a church not necessarily are people of great wealth. Sometimes they are people of great poverty. They understand something about giving to the Lord. We think of the woman in the Bible who gave what we call the widow's mites. You remember that day as Jesus was watching the people come through and give an offering, and lots of men who were very wealthy gave a good portion, no doubt. But when the woman gave the mites, now let me tell you something about that. You say, well, that's not a whole lot. I mean, what can God do with just a little? Oh, brother, God doesn't need a lot. God needs our hearts this morning. That's what he needs. God needs obedience today. Listen, God can provide in ways that we've never imagined before. But when we give, we are accessing the supernatural giving of an almighty God. You see, when we give above the tithe, we are saying, God, we trust you to do what only you can do. The Bible says that they gave sacrificially. They gave, the Bible says, beyond their power. Do you know what? That is the kind of giving where God wants us to get to. To where we are giving beyond our power. We are saying, Lord, we give, but we trust you to multiply this gift. We trust you to bless as only you can. That is God's standard for giving. Now, brethren, today, as I've told you this, I do not know what people give in our church. I know that our people are faithful. I know that. But I know this, that I want to be obedient to God in every area of my life. Would it be a horrible thing one day to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and for God to say, I blessed you with so much, but you robbed me of what belonged to me. You did not give the tithe, but what about not just the tithe? God would say, you never sacrificially gave unto me. You see, brethren, the Lord Jesus Christ has given us everything. He has given us his own precious son. I've got news for you. If it meant giving one of my children to save people, I wouldn't do it. You say, well, Pastor, what if the giving of your child would save a city, a state? I wouldn't do it because they're my children. I love them. There is a love that I have. I would not give them. Yes, I would give myself, but not them. But the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God gave the greatest gift of all, and that is his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And brethren, can I tell you something about our Savior? Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. They mocked the gift of God. They despised the gift of God. They rejected God's precious sacrificial gift. Think of that. They spat upon Jesus. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. They shamelessly crucified the Son of God as a common thief. Brethren, God gave the greatest gift of all. Look here, one day you and I are going to leave this earth. We are. I pray that it's a long time for you and me both, but as surely as I'm standing here, this time next year, there will be people in our building that will not be here. God will have called you home. Can I ask you something today? When you leave here, we take nothing with us. We came into this world with nothing, and that is exactly how we leave. But the great promise is, brethren, that we can send it on ahead. We can lay up treasure in heaven where moth or rust doth not corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. You see, giving is really a matter of our heart. And when my heart is right with the Lord, we will give. You know, I remember when I first got saved and came to know the Lord as my personal Savior. I remember, you know something, 3 months later, I surrendered my life to the Lord to do whatever God wanted me to do. And you know something, it wasn't long after that that God put a burden on my heart to preach and to be a pastor. You know something, it is no sacrifice for me. It is the joy because whatever I can give to my Heavenly Father because He has given everything. You may think today, well, Pastor, what I'm doing with my life is a great sacrifice. It cannot equal the sacrifice of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what I'm giving is a great loss, brethren. It can never equal the loss of what God gave in His only begotten Son. Today, may God help us. I was reading recently about the story of a great preacher of years gone by, a wonderful, wonderful story that I read. And in the story that I found, the preacher was in charge of an orphanage, and it was his job to take care of all of the children, and the needs were great. Oh, the needs were great. In fact, this man, one day as he was at his orphanage there, a lady came up, an older lady, and she asked for a gold coin. They lived in Europe during that time. And the man said to the lady, "Lady, I'm a servant of the Lord, and I'm taking care of all of these children, and we cannot spare a gold coin." And she said, "Old sir, I'm so hungry, and I have nothing. Would you please spare me a gold coin?" He said, "Ma'am, would you stay right here?" And he went into the orphanage, and he got on his knees and began to pray. And he sought the Lord, and he believed that God led him to give the lady the gold coin. He really could not spare it. So he came to the door, and he gave the lady the coin. He said, "Ma'am, I give this to you, and I pray that you can get fed, and I pray this will be a blessing to you." She said, "Sir, I will pray for God's blessing on you and this orphanage." Within a few days later, a wealthy businessman in the area gave 100 gold coins to the orphanage. And then, after that took place, the man thought to himself, he said, "Surely, surely, God has repaid me 100-fold for the one coin that I gave." But it was weeks and weeks, people giving and blessings coming untold. And the man recognized that because of his gift of sacrifice, God opened the windows of heaven. Can I tell you something? God can do more for us than what we could ever do for ourselves. I remember the missionary family when I was in Wisconsin this year, back in February. I told you the story. But the missionary children, we were at Cracker Barrel eating together. And I told the kids, I said, hey, when we get done here, I'm going to let you pick anything out you want to at Cracker Barrel. They've got cool toys, you know. And boy, the kids were excited. They ate their plate. And man, they were just like little angels sitting there. And when it was time to be done, I said, all right, let's go. And boy, they grabbed my hands. They made sure I went with them, you know. It's important to take the man who's going to buy them with you. And so we go there, and there was two girls and a boy. And the girls, you know, they were looking around, and they found something pretty quickly. And they said, well, you know, the dad and mom always try to be careful. Don't get anything too expensive, you know, and all that. But I said, hey, you get whatever you want, all right? Well, the little boy had picked something that was just kind of something small. And he said, Pastor, what do you think of this? And I said, I like that. That's great. And then he saw something much bigger than that. And he said, Pastor, do you think I should get this or that right over there? Well, you know, what am I going to say? I said, well, get that one over there. And boy, he got that one right over there. You know what he did to me? He let me choose. He let me decide for him. Brother, I'll tell you this. When you and I obey the Lord and we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we give him our heart. I'm going to tell you something. When we let him choose the blessing, his blessing will be bigger than we could ever imagine. Can I tell you something? In a sense, God's hands are much bigger than our hands are. God's giving is greater than what we could ever imagine. I want you, as your pastor, for you to know the blessing of the Lord. And you will not know God's blessing if you rob God. And you will not know God's blessing if you do not give an offering and a sacrifice to the Lord. Oh, how God will bless. You know something? God has allowed and enabled my wife and I to give our tithe. We've always given it. But more than the tithe, we've given to Faith Promise. And more than that, we've given to the building and given to other needs. Can I tell you something? God has always met our need beyond what we could ever imagine. When I was in Bible college, I thought, and I would say to the Lord sometimes, God, I've got a bill. I've got to pay my college bill. But Lord, if I pay my tithe, I really can't pay my college bill. You know something? I remember thinking in my heart of mind, if I'll trust God, God will take care of everything else. And I remember paying that tithe, and God would meet the need. Can I tell you something? Let God work as we obey Him. The standard of God's giving. Let's bow our heads in prayer.